and then came back, and then I went to visit my aunt. I was in trouble. Why didn't I go and see her that night when I got there? She was waiting for me too. Oh yeah, she was waiting, and she knew I was there, and why didn't I go? And so I came and said, you know, we got back so late, we didn't want to disturb you, and then the following day I had all these activities to do. But she was happy to see me there. And again, the way we connect with people, of coming over and smiling and seeing. And I don't think that what we're doing today here at church is a coincidence. It's not just something that we kind of thought this would be a good idea to bring people together in a room like this called church. I think God knows us and the importance of connecting with each other, seeing each other, shaking each other's hands, praying for each other, singing together, praising God. And I see Benny with her family here. She's happy to have him. That's so important to just connect in a very, we would say, physical way, seeing each other and speaking to each other. And so that was the experience that we were able to have, not having cell phones, not having internet. We were able to connect in a very deep way. And the rest of the group, we were 36. How did we communicate, not having all those things? Well, we decided that once a day, during lunchtime, we would come together and eat. And then after the meal, basically we all knew what we were up to, what was the plan for the next day, what was the plan for the weekend, and we coordinated all those things when we came together. In the Bible, we find many examples of people coming together. And Brother Kelly's been doing a series on the men and women of faith of Hebrews 11 and how they connected with God and with each other. We find stories like Jonathan and David, two young men. One was a son of the king. The other one was a shepherd boy. And how they connected. And they loved each other. And they purposed to be there for each other as long as they had life. You have Elijah and Elisha. And they also came together with the purpose of seeing revival and reformation in their nation. They knew things were not going as planned. And they wanted to bring people back to God. And they came together. And they shared their talents together. And they were able to bring God's people back to true adoration, true worship. But today I want to talk to you about a couple, two ladies, a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. You would think, boy, those relationships, what? They don't work, Pastor Sam. And we've heard stories. But all those stories aren't true. And the story that I want to share to you is one that encourages me to connect with those around me, to connect with those who are close to me. Because God has a special blessing. God has a special blessing in store when we connect with those who are around us. And the story that I want to share with you is a story of Ruth and Naomi. And a lot of us know this story. It's a short book, 4 chapters long, and it starts by telling us that in the time of the judges, in a time where there was no king, in a time where everyone did according to what they thought was good in their own heart, famine came to that region. Famine came to the city of David, the city of Bethlehem. And there was a man there by the name of Elimelech and his wife, Naomi, and their 2 sons. And they were there and they were going through some difficult times. And they thought, what are we going to do? How are we going to feed our family? And what do people do when there's no food and there's no work? What do? Automatically, they do what? They look. They find out, where is food? Where is work? And they'll move. And a lot of us are here because of work. That's why we're here. And if we didn't have it, we would probably go somewhere else. And they made that very difficult decision of picking up whatever they had, their 2 children, and moving to a different land, to the land of Moab. Today, my wife and I, we did junior Sabbath school. And I just popped into my head for the, I guess I had read it before, but I didn't know that Moses died in the land of Moab. That's where Moses had died. The years had transcribed. And now this family was going to Moab to see if things would work out better. But to their unfortunate situation, Elimelech, the father of the house, he passed away. He died. His two sons grew up basically without a father. And then they got married. 10 years went by, and then both of them died. And that's the setting of the story. Ruth, Naomi, Orpha, three widows with no husband, and Naomi with no sons. I can't imagine a more tragic situation. The strongest connection any woman could have, her husband, her children, gone. And all of a sudden you find yourself all by yourself and a widow. And a widow in those days was something very difficult. There is just no work for you. Sorry. Family, you know, you can stay here for a few months, but you're going to have to go somewhere else. And things were very difficult for them. But all three of them basically came to the conclusion there was nothing for them in Moab, especially Naomi. She said, I need to go back to Bethlehem. I need to go back to my people. Maybe there I will find what I am seeking. I've heard good things about Bethlehem. I've heard bread. There's food in Bethlehem. Maybe my relatives will take care of me. A big step for a lady who left with nothing to Moab, just her family, and now was going back with nothing and without her family. Big, big decision. But she decided to make this a priority. And her daughters-in-law, both of them, they decided that they were going to come along. I don't know who Naomi was, but the little I read from her in the book of Ruth, I find that she was somebody who was very open. Do you see that? She's very open, very sincere. I see a person who was very loving, very respectful, that didn't only look out for herself. She could have said, great, I got two daughters-in-law. I'm going to put them to work, and they're going to do this and that for me, and I'm going to be okay. But she didn't think that way. She told them, both of you are young. You can stay here in your land. You can remarry. You can make a life. Don't do such foolish thing. Don't come with me. You have nothing with me. I'm only going to, you know, I'm not going to be able to help you. Sorry. And they cried, the Bible tells us. They wept. And they wept. It tells us that they wept several times. And if you have your Bibles with me, with you, open them up with me to Ruth chapter 1. Now we're going to go straight to the verses we want to study today. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 14. After she had said these words, they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law. But what did Ruth do? She claved unto her. Honestly, she connected. And she said the following, verse 15. This is Naomi speaking. Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. But Ruth said the following. Entreat me not to do what? To leave you or to return from following after you. Do you have such a friend? Or do you know someone in your own family who said, you know what? I'm going to stick to you. I'm not going to let you go. I want to be with you. You know, this thing about you going by yourself is not a good idea. Two are better than what? The one. If one falls, the other will what? Lift him up. If one is cold, the other one, too, what? Will keep each other warm. If one is being harassed, two can withstand that one person. And two are better than one. And I can see Ruth saying, no, Naomi, this is not a good idea. What are you going to do all by yourself? Together, I think we can do something. We can take care of each other. We can make things happen. And I will go with you. I will go with you. This is what I see written in this verse, chapter 1 and verse 16. And she said the following, "For without thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Where do we hear those words, those last words? "Until death doeth us," what? "Apart." Where do you hear that? Marriage. A covenant. Ruth was making a covenant, a promise to Naomi. "Where you go, I will go. Where you live, I'm going to live. Your people will be my people. And what else? Your God will be my God." Talk about a strong bond. Talk about relationship. Talk about connection. They had that. A mother-in-law and what else? A daughter-in-law. A mother and daughter-in-law connection. Strong. Incredible example of what love can do in people's lives. Amen? Amen. And if God can do that between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law, can he do that between son and father? He can do that. Can he do that among siblings, brothers and sisters? He can do that. Can he do that among spouses, husband and wife? He can do that. And in fact, it was a Jewish Orthodox man who shared the following with me. I was on a train, and I asked the question. We were talking, and I have no idea how I asked this question, but I asked him, "So when do you think the Messiah will come back?" And he stopped, and he thought, and he said, "Do you have your Bible?" I said, "I do." "Go to Malachi chapter 4. So I went to Malachi chapter 4, and he says, "Well, what does it say there?" "Look at verse 5. And I went to verse 5, and it says there, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." A promise. What will God do? He will turn the hearts of the parents toward their children and the heart of their children to their parents. God is all about connections, brothers and sisters. I don't know what connections you have. And when we hear that word, we hear of people who have influence in business, influence in politics, and we go, "Wow, that person is connected. This is why he can do what he can do." But are we connected? We are connected to whom? The God of the universe. He says he is there for us 24/7. Doesn't matter what part of the world you are in. He says he's ready to listen. He's ready to connect with us if we are willing to connect with him. I've been reading this book called Boundaries for Leaders, and the idea is results relationships. You know what business is all about? It's about relationships. How people work together. How they get things done. How they communicate. How they connect. And there's a whole chapter here on connecting with coworkers, connecting with your boss, connecting with people who have one common goal. And I just want to share a few things that I think are also seen in this story between Ruth and Naomi. And these are the things that I find. Have a shared purpose. Unity grows when people come together around a shared purpose or goal. My mom said, "Samuel, what are you doing today?" "I'm inviting my friends over." "Great! I've got something for them to do." That didn't work too well. I said, "Mom, my friends don't want to come to my house anymore. You're always putting them to work. There's this to be done and that to be done." But the idea of coming around a common goal. How are our missionaries who went to Dine, how are they coming back? They're coming back connected. They've lived together for a whole week. They've sweated for a whole week. They've eaten together for a whole week. They've worked together for a whole week. Do you think they're coming connected? They're coming back connected. They had one purpose, one goal, and they worked together. Number two, be aware of the issues and of each other. In other words, this is something that's worked for my family, and I share with you. No secrets. No secrets. Share what's going on in your life. And especially if it's something very difficult and very, let's say, shameful, you really want to share it with those you trust and those you love. And that can be mom, that can be dad, that can be your sister, it can be your brother. Share. No secrets. Well, what happens with secrets is that people all of a sudden start feeling that they're not part of what's going on. They feel disconnected. And so that's one of the rules. And for business, they say the same thing. Hey, share what's going on. Be open about it. Maybe we can resolve this together. And so the idea of collaboration to solve issues, create a climate where problems and issues can get shared and solved through the family's engagement with one another. Did Naomi and Ruth have a problem? They had a huge problem. If they didn't do something about it, they could die. Society would just put them aside, wouldn't think much about them. And they would have to somehow beg. They would have to somehow go from place to place, finding somebody to give them some shelter. They had a huge problem. But the one thing that they had each other. And they also had who? They had God. And they did not let go. And they said, "We're going to work this out together. It's a problem, but somehow we're going to find a solution to this problem." Emotional repair. Do we sometimes say things that hurt others? Or do other people say things that hurt us? All the time. All the time. It's part of being a human being. We disconnect easily. But we can find ways of repairing those disconnections. And ask God for wisdom. And also ask each other, "How can I repair this situation? I broke it down. I understand. How can I repair it?" And the last thing that they talk about, which is very important, is listening. And I think that's one of the hardest things for us to do today. I think that Naomi and Ruth had it so much easier. Is there a lot of noise out there? Well, what are the noises that we have? Worries? Yes. Future, what is it like? That kind of noise? Or how about just, I don't know about you, but do you get lots of junk mail email? Yes. It takes a lot of time sometimes to just, you try to block all those emails. And how about the cell phone? Yes, they could go on and on and on. And sometimes the people around you are the ones that just they don't have time to connect with them. But listening. If we take time to listen to each other, if we take time to engage eye to eye and say, "Hey, what's going on? Pastor Sam, I've noticed you're quiet." You know, I've heard that this past week. "You're quiet." "I am." That means people are what? Listening. They're engaged. They say, "Well, you usually talk more." But that connects us if we know that we're listening to each other. And even if we can't do anything about what's happening, but at least we know that we have prayers, amen? And we have each other's support, and we have each other's best intention, and we want to see people succeed. A house divided falls, but one united stands. And it can stand against anything, brothers and sisters. It can stand against any challenge this world can throw at you. No matter where you are in life, no matter your situation, if your house is united, it will stand. And that was the case of Ruth and Naomi. It stood. And it was such a blessing. Not only because we find in the book of Ruth that Ruth met a man by the name of Boaz. And things went well. He was a wealthy man, had land and food. And Boaz wasn't only nice to Ruth, but very nice to Naomi too. He said, "Naomi, come on, you can live with us." And if we go to Ruth chapter 4, verse 14, it talks about Naomi. Not about Ruth, it talks about Naomi. "And the women in town said unto Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, has borne him.' And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, 'There is a son born to whom?' To Naomi. There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." And today we can say the father of Jesus. What a blessing. Connections. Trusting God. Knowing that he cares about our relationships. He does. And he's listening to your prayers. I know many of you are praying for those relationships. For your children, for your grandchildren, for your spouses, for your parents, for your neighbors. God has a special blessing for those who take the opportunity to connect with others. Let us take that opportunity. Let us do so, especially knowing that Jesus is coming again. Amen.